This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
The title is, It's More Than Just a Stick. It's More Than Just a Stick. This is a word that Pastor Randy has shared, and we talked last night, and we agreed that I would share it today. I want to read in terms of Scripture, Psalms 20, verses 7 and 8. It's in the New Century Version. Some trust in chariots, others in horses, but we trust in the Lord our God. They are overwhelmed, those who do not trust in God. They are overwhelmed, those who trust in other things. They are overwhelmed and defeated, but we march forward and win. Everybody say, forward to win. We march forward. We march forward. We keep marching forward. Not to be weird or over-spiritual or super-spiritual, but maybe it's not just the month of March that we're in, but it's a year, it's a month to march forward. Pastor Randy came a few weeks ago, and he spoke those very words over this house. He says, I believe it's a word from heaven. He spoke to me before he spoke to you. And he says, I have a word for you. He says, I believe it's for you and for the house. He says, it's time to march forward. March, the month of March, is more than just a month. It is what we heard a few years ago. It's more than just a month. It is a month to march forward, win victories, destroy obstacles. Somebody say amen. Amen. The immovable things, the things that really have hindered you, things that maybe you've given up on, things that yet, though you seem to feel like it's immovable, it can't be changed, but there's something in your heart, there's something inside of you that says, it's still the deepest longing of my existence, and I know that it's possible. There's something in me that says, like the woman and like the man, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. What do you need from God? It's impossible, but only you. But Lord, you can do anything. Somebody say amen. It's that kind of a word. It's that kind of a moment. I really and truly believe that you need to focus on what is God saying to you? What impossibility lies in you that God wants to resurrect and say, it was never impossible because I can do all things. Nothing is impossible to me. And if I'm in the middle of it, you don't have to do it. I'll do it for you. Somebody say, yeah. How many of you want God to do it? You could never do it or you wouldn't need God. If you could do it by yourself, we wouldn't need him. But aren't you glad we do need him? Maybe God wants to communicate something to us that we don't have to stay stuck any longer. That we march forward and win. Because it's the ones who are marching forward in spite of the obstacles that are going to win. You know, the most important moment in your life is when you think, I can't go one more step. That is an opportunity for you to come together with the Lord Jesus himself and say, you and I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I would never forget when I was going to Yosemite up to Half Dome. Anybody know what Half Dome is? You're going to be half dumb to go to Half Dome. I think it's 9 miles up and 9 miles down. And there's all kinds of obstacles, all kinds. But when I was on the way, the only reason I was in my late 50s, and the only reason I wanted to go was because my son was going, and I had never been there with him. I've been there a number of times prior to that. But my little boy grew up, and now he's, 18 and ready to conquer the world. I'm 58, and give me a donut, But I'm going to go. I got to the place. Now, they're already up the mountain. There's a place you get in Yosemite to where that you're at the base of Half Dome, and you have to climb the back of Half Dome, and there are rails that are going up there. And if you fall, it's heaven time. You know what I'm saying? If you let go, now it's not as dangerous as we who've been there trying to make it sound, but if you let go, you're in a world of hurt. So I'm not even up there yet. They're already going up the rails. I'm still on the backside going up there, and I cannot put one more foot in front of another. I reached that place. I reached that place, Johnny, three times. That point where I had to sit, I had to stop, and then I would go. And what it was, I was dehydrating, and I was exhausted. Now, I mean totally exhausted. I didn't eat hardly anything going up there. I was overprepared. I think I had two small bottles of water. You know, it's 80-some degrees. And I am out of shape. I mean, I'm the picture in the dictionary where it says out of shape. And yet I'm going to, you know, hey, I can do it and blah, blah. And when I got there, I realized I can't, third time, I can't do it. I cannot do it. And I said, all I know to do, and by this time I'm praying. Because, you know, there's nobody to take me back. It's 8 miles down. You see what I'm saying? And I, you know, it's not like you can call and get a helicopter right away. And that would be the end of the world. I'd ruin the trip. I said, Lord, there's got to be a way. And I, three times, I came to the end of myself. Now, there's a reason. I didn't use this in the first service. When you've come to the end of the self, you know what that means? It means no way, no how, no matter what I've tried, nothing I can do can get me through this. That is either defeat or an opportunity for God. And when you get to that place, and some of you may be there in your marriage, in your business, in your relationships, in your physical health, in your finances, you may be there. But I'm here to tell you, I was that place. When I got to that place, I said, Lord, I was sick. I was physically sick. And I heard him say these words. Say that. I heard him say. When you hear him say, there's power in what's being said. So the point this morning is, you need to hear what he's saying at the moment when nothing else will work. Because at that moment, Rick, I heard, at that moment, Joyce, I heard him say, now I'm going to help you. And all I could do was put one, the fourth time, one foot in front of the other, David. But every time, all of a sudden, no, not all of a sudden, after a period of being, going to the end of your own resources, trying three times, and finally saying, God, if you don't help me, I'm done. And looking up in faith, and he helped me. Then strength came to me. I should have been done. I walked up those steps. What do you call? There's some kind of steps. And then I got on the rail, and God sent me two nephews. One pulled me, and the other pushed me. I said, Tyler, if you let go, we're doomed. If you don't keep your head in my butt, we're ruined. And we made it. When we got up there, as I told you a couple weeks ago, I think I used this illustration one service. I got up there, and there's my friends and my son, and they're all, hey, Dad, you made it. And I'm barely like this, and then I saw them, I go, yeah, I made it. I'm ready to go. Want to go again? But you know what? God gave me strength. I could have never got up there. And then all of a sudden, when we got up there, we waited for an hour up in the hot sun for somebody to arrive. And when we went down, the strength of the Holy Ghost came on me. It's the only way I can describe it. And I didn't, because, you know, when you're going down 8 miles, you don't walk. You trot. You know, because you're going down, you have to put the brakes on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I made it. I never had a problem. I was rejuvenated. You know why? A word from heaven can heal your life. Say, going forward, we have to have that word from the Lord. But notice, the Bible gives us insight when you feel stuck, how to win in the relationship area, in the finance area, in the physical area, in the exhaustion area, in the depression area. We march. We march. It's how we win. We don't quit. We march. We keep marching in relationships, first and foremost with God. Secondly, with those who are around you. We're stuck no longer. We're not going to quit. We're not going to lay down. Because people who lay down lose. People who quit can never win. Moses and the children of Israel were in such a situation when they were being delivered from slavery and bondage. As you know the story, how many of you saw the Ten Commandments? You know, there's fewer and fewer people who've seen that movie because you're also young. Hallelujah. But it's a good movie. You ought to watch it. It's old as Methuselah, but it does pretty good things. I didn't say we were old as Methuselah. I said the movie's older than Methuselah. When I first saw it, I was a child of about 2.5, okay? But They're ready to cross the Red Sea. Well, they've left Egypt. They're at the Red Sea. They don't know how they're going to get around it because they can't go around it because the Pharaoh's in back of them. He's let them go, but he's changed his mind. Now he's coming with all of his army, and they're going to be destroyed because there is an obstacle in front of them. There's death in back of them, and they're doomed except God helps them. And so we find Moses crying out to God. He is the leader of the children of Israel, and they're running from bondage. And he's crying out, God, help us. Father, help us. Lord, I must have your help. And here's what God says to him, Exodus 14, 15. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Really? That's it, God? We're doomed? Do you know what forward leads me? It leads me to a swimming hole. 3 million people in there. How do we go forward? I didn't feel like going forward that day in Yosemite. The fourth time, I had to take a step. I felt as bad when I took that step as when I heard the voice of the Lord. When he said, I'm going to help you, but you take the next step. Somebody say amen. Wherever you are, if you want the miracle that God's got here for you today, you're going to have to take that first step. You're going to have to take it by faith and not by sight. You're going to have to take it, thus saith the Lord of hosts. I've tried it 3 times. God hadn't worked. He says, are you going to hear me? He says, try one more time. Hallelujah. Try one more time. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm going to try it one more time. Hallelujah. Because there's a word from heaven for you today. Turn to the person next to you and say, there's a word from heaven for you today. There's a word from heaven for me and you today. Hallelujah. He says, really, God? Are your eyes open, sir? Weren't able to do anything. They felt stuck in that situation. But God says, keep moving. Keep going forward. And then in Exodus 14, 16, he says this. Raise your walking stick and hold it over the sea so that the sea will split and the people can cross it on dry land. Everybody say it with me. It's not just a stick. Notice, Moses had something in his hand. Something in his hand. It was a rod. This one has a piece of tape on it because I broke it in the first service. It was Victoria's. It belonged to her great-great-great-great-grandfather who walked with Lincoln across the ditch. No, that's the wrong story. But I broke it, but they fixed it. This is miracle tape. But I'm not going to throw it down as hard this time, okay? Notice, Moses had something in his hand. It's a stick, just like this. Just a stick. Say, it's not just a stick. And we see that God tells Moses to stretch out his hand and stretch it towards the Red Sea. He says, I put something in your hand. Now, if you'll act on it, hear that, if you'll act on what I've put in your hand, nothing can hinder or destroy you. God, I'm stuck. He says, yeah, but what have I already put in your hand? What you've already got in your heart, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, but every tongue that rises against me, I will condemn. For this is in the inheritance of the servants. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And my righteousness is from Jesus, says God. Hallelujah. You don't have to be worthy. You just got to use what he already gave you. You don't have to be ready. You just got to use what he already gave you. You don't have to be ready to go and not tired. You can be worn out. But if you'll just take one more step with what he's already given you. Hallelujah. A word in your hand, hallelujah, can move a mountain. Yeah? You believe that? Say amen. 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 How many of you would like to know what this is, what the rod is, what the stick is? First, let me tell you why you need it, why you need this rod. The rod, the stick, is the authority that releases God's supernatural authority and ability to do what you need done. this rod releases the authority of God, the miracle working power of God Almighty. This is not a fairy tale. It is real. You betting on whether either God is alive and Jesus is real, or if he's a figment of my imagination. I want you to think about it. If this word is partly true, it's totally true. And God said, you have something in your hands. I'm going to show you all through the Bible where God says there's a rod in your hand. Somebody say amen. And I'm telling you, it will work miracles. I said, it will work miracles. I said, it can heal you of cancer. Oh, I don't think you heard me. I said, it has healed people of cancer. It has raised marriages that were dead. It has brought money where there was no money. God's got a house for you. God's got a home for you. God's got a job for you. God's got a husband or a wife. Oh, somebody help me today. And he's given you the authority and the miracle power, and it's in your hands. Hallelujah. Well, I haven't got my miracle yet. You know what? That doesn't mean the rod's not in your hands. There's lots of people. How many of you believe everybody can be saved? But not everybody is saved. You know what? Why? There's a choice to make. It's simple faith in God's word. Somebody say amen. Faith. Faith that moves mountains. Without that rod in your hand, you'll never win in life. Are you listening? Okay. So, you need this rod because it is the miracle-working authority of God. Remember the burning bush. The story of the burning bush when Moses was in the wilderness. Moses came from a miraculous. That's a good thing. If you think God's out of miracles in your life, look what he already has done for you. Moses should have been dead before 3 days to 10 days after he was born. But he was brought in the bulrush, right? And raised in Pharaoh's household. Had the greatest upbringing. Oh, it's so good. In the middle of what seems decadence and sin. In the middle of a generation that's going to hell. God's got a seed planted in the middle of it. That's going to deliver his people. Oh, I don't think you got it. You are that seed. You are that Moses. You're in the middle of a wicked and a perverse generation. Oh, come on, somebody help me. And God sends you to a generation to show them the rod. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's at the burning bush. He was raised in Pharaoh's household. And he already tried to do something good. He tried to defend a defenseless Jewish person against an Egyptian that was killing him. And so in the fracas there's an old word. In the battle that ensued between Moses trying to protect the Jewish man from the Egyptian man, we see that Moses kills the Egyptian. And everything is over for him. He flees because it's like the old Roman days. If you killed a Roman, you're in trouble. The Roman government will find you. The Egyptians, if you kill an Egyptian, you're in trouble, especially if you're a son of Pharaoh, raised in the palace. And so he flees. He loses all confidence. He develops a stutter. He can't even talk. It's amazing how many people have these stutters and end up being mighty men and women of valor. Hallelujah. And so we see Moses for 40 years, he runs from Pharaoh and he's in the desert. And I started about the burning bush. You remember the story of the burning bush? And he sees there's a lot of burning bushes in the desert in those days. But this one was different because it didn't consume. The fire kept burning. Hallelujah. I got news for you. There's a lot of fires, a lot of brush fires, but I've gotten friendly with a fire that is eternal. It's all consuming. Hallelujah. It never dies. Hallelujah. It's as hot and as powerful as the day he first introduced me to him. I will send you and fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire. You know what the fire does? It purifies. It destroys my enemies. Hallelujah. He keeps me clean. Hallelujah. It keeps me excited. It keeps me full. It keeps me full of the presence and the power and the enthusiasm of God. He's watching and he sees that bush and he turns aside and he sees and he realizes it's supernatural. He walks over towards it. You know, when you see something supernatural, don't run from it, run to it. Run to God, not from God. When you need something that's supernatural, you don't run from God, you run to God. He ran to it, and he said, and the Moses realized it's God, and he's speaking to them. He says, Moses, I've got a story for you. He says, you're going to deliver all my people. You're going to take them from bondage to liberty, from slavery to freedom. He says, and I'm going to deliver you. And then he went on to tell him, I'm taking you to the land of milk and honey. He described a beautiful place. Have you ever really thought that God's plans are precious and powerful and fulfilling and perfect? He has a plan for every one of your lives. And he said, Lord, he says, and I'm going to be your spokesman. He says, yeah, you're going to be my spokesman. He says, what if they won't believe me? What if they won't do what I tell them? Remind me of Zechariah. You know, the angel comes down and tells him Elizabeth's going to have John the Baptist way after their ability to have children. And he says, well, how will I know this is true? He says, I'm Gabriel, dummy. I've come from the presence of the Lord. Do you think I'm a figment of your imagination? And struck him dumb. Sometimes, yeah, anyway, I just thought that was funny. So he says, what if they won't believe me? He says, what have you got in your hand? What have you got in your hand, Moses? He says, it's a rod. It's just a stick. Say it with me. It's not just a stick. He says, throw it down. And I threw it down in the first verse, but I'm just going to gently lay it. It was very dramatic. And Grandpa was hurt. Anyway, he threw it down. What happened? Turned into a snake. Turned into a snake. And Moses, being the mighty, he's encouraged. He's excited. He says, whoa, look what God has done. Is that what he did? No, he did what Terry did. He ran like a scared freak. He ran. Hey, you know what? You got a snake, a rattlesnake particularly, much less one of them mamba babies. You know what I mean? Oh, those things, they send me, you know. I ain't going into swimming. I ain't going swimming in a pond because I was in Texas and we were in a pond. Pond in California is safe. You know, you can get out and lay around. Here come the water moccasins with their mouths open. Snakes are demons. I know a lady who plays with snakes. I don't want to go there. My grandchildren are sitting up there and there's a snake. I'm out of here. Let Karen save them. I'm gone. No offense, but that's the way it is, baby. In my natural self, whoo, mama, help me, you know. Turns into a snake. Now, he literally runs from it. Now, hear me. God's miracle is what looks like a snake. He says, Moses, go back and pick that sucker up. And I spoke up for Moses back then, and I said, you're what hurts, God? I don't want to pick up a snake. Do you know what? That thing that looks like such an obstacle, that thing that looks like it's so impossible, that thing you're so scared of, my God is telling you, go back, face it in my power, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. Oh, and so he comes back and that, can't you just see that sucker? And he gets around, but he manages. God never asks you to do anything you're not able to do. He picked it up, and when he picked it up, it turned back into a rod. You know what happened then? He went, and he faced Pharaoh, and he literally gets to the point to where that he is facing Pharaoh and saying, God says, let my people go. Let my people go. He says, and you shall take this rod, this is Exodus 4:17, in your hand, with which you shall do the signs. The Good News translation says, take this walking stick with you, for with it you will perform miracles. It may look like just a simple thing, but when God's in it, it becomes a miracle working stick, a miracle working orb, a miracle working instrument. And say this with me, and God's put it in my hands. You notice, he didn't go to the burning bush and look for a stick. He already came with one. God's placed in you everything you need to work miracles. I'm getting ahead of myself, but what else is new? So they're at Pharaoh, and guess what? He says, let my people go. He says, if not, plagues will come, and this will come, and that will come. And Pharaoh says, I'm not scared of that. My magicians will take care of that. And so God tells Moses, tell Aaron to throw his rod down. You know what blesses me? God used Aaron's rod to do all the miracles in the land of Egypt. Not Moses, Aaron's. It's not just the preachers who have the ability in their hands. It's the people who are kingdom priests. Hallelujah. It's the people like you and you and you. You have the rod of God in your hands. And he threw it down. He says, tell Moses, tell him to throw it down. And he threw it down. And you know the story. It turned into a snake. And then Pharaoh says, that's nothing. We can do that. And he says, boom, throw your rods down. And the magicians and the rods, their rods, all the magicians, they threw their rods down and they turned into snakes. But you know what was awesome? Hallelujah. The rod that God gave Aaron and the rod that God gave Moses ate every one of those snakes up. Hallelujah. What does that tell you? Everything that God gives you to do, the devil will try to substitute and lie and deceive and send what we would call, what's the other word for a substitute? It's a counterfeit. Awesome. Send a counterfeit. You know what? Everything that comes against you, God's rod will eat it up and defend you. Somebody should say amen. Every lie the devil throws against you, every counterfeit, you're too old, you're too young, you're too smart, you're not smart enough, you're too tall, you're too short, you're too calorically challenged. I learned to say that because my wife said, just because you're fat, don't call other people fat. I said, you calling me fat? I'm calorically challenged. Whatever your challenge is, it doesn't matter. God says, my word can swallow it up in victory. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Lift your hands right now. The word, now grab like I am. The word of God, the rod of God is in your hands. You think, well, I don't know. No, you were born with it when you were born again. Hallelujah. I'll prove it to you in a minute. You got to read the word. Yeah, you got to read the word. But you know what? There's more than that. The rod of God is more than just a stick. If you're with me, say amen. For with it you will work miracles. So why do you need that rod in your hand? Number one. Put it on the boards, please. Because the rod, the stick, is the authority that releases God's supernatural ability. If you don't have that rod in your hand, you don't have any miracles. The rod is pregnant with miracles. This rod in your hand, raise your hand again. This rod in your hand is pregnant with miracles. Well, I don't know. I already said it once. I'm going to say it again. You've already seen miracles in your life. You're still here. Hallelujah. Father, the rod is in our hands. We're going to use it when we hear and when we leave this place to move impossible things and bring dreams that are dead back to reality. Because what you've done before, you are well able to do again and again and again. If you believe that, say yes. This rod can heal your broken heart. It can bring peace to your tormented minds, your tormented emotions. I'm not just talking. I've had to apply this rod to my own life when torment and fear wanted to destroy me and my family. Are you listening to me? And, you know, God, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Because God gives you a rod doesn't mean you're never going to have problems. But I have news for you. If you'll hold fast and keep the hand of God raised in your hands, every obstacle has to fall by the wayside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't care whether it's your physical body. I don't care if it's your finances. I don't care if your marriage has been broken. It takes two to tango. Anybody ever hear that? It takes two to make up. Oh, but the makeup is good. But you know what? If it doesn't happen, look at me. God has something for you anyway. Are you listening? I could get more explicit, but there have been people that have been through marriage and divorce, and the other mate would not reconcile or would not change. And they left them in defeat or ran them so far off by beating them and destroying them and doing things that are all hideous. And it seemed like the end was there, and they would never, ever be able to be restored, and yet God restored. But when God didn't restore because he couldn't restore, just like he couldn't do miracles of a mighty nature when he was in his hometown of Nazareth, because the people would not change, God brings something else their way. How many of you are living examples and testimonies that when you were left desolate, God never left you desolate? Hallelujah. You're living proof of it. Living proof of it. The rod that is in your hand brings miracles, because it's pregnant with God's ability. The second reason why you need this rod in your hand: the rod is a defense against the enemy's opposition. I already told you about the musicians. Oh, Lord. They're coming out. I hope they don't bring their snakes. Amen. But if they do, I got the rod. Amen. Hallelujah. The magicians, we already told you about. The rod is a defense against the lies of the enemy. The lies of the enemy. So what is this rod? It's more than a stick. Exodus 4, 19 through 25. Read with me. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go, return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead." Hallelujah. Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey. And he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the what? Of what? The rod of God in his hand. Now notice, for 40 years, this was been known as the rod of Moses or the rod of Aaron. But now, from this time forth, it's known as the rod of God in heaven. The rod of God. It's now God's rod. It's more than just a stick. Why is that important? Because the Bible goes on to say that the rod of God is actually also the rod of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is this rod in your hands, which was the rod of Moses and Aaron. Look at the prophecy in Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. There shall come forth a capital R-O-D, rod, from the stem of Jesse. Jesse was King David's father, who was in the lineage of Jesus. And a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon who? So the rod's no longer just a rod. The rod is no longer just a stick. It's the rod of God. It's the rod of Jesus. Now it's not an it, it's a him. So the rod is Jesus. When you go up against your problems, you're not going up against problems on your own. You're going with Jesus in your hands. With Jesus in you. But that's not all. Look at John 1. In John 1 it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Word. Notice the Word is capitalized. Word. W, capital W. "And the Word," or Jesus, "became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." The glory comes from the Word. The glory comes from Jesus. Somebody say amen. "And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So now it's not just the rod of Jesus. It's the rod is the Word of God. "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The word is for you. The word is your weapon. The word is your defense. It is not an it, it is a him. It is not an it, it is a him. The rod is now a picture of the word. Matthew 11, 12. "I said to you, it's time to march." It's time to march. Somebody bring me some musicians, not magicians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. It's time to march. Say, it's time to march. It's time to march forward with the Word of God in our hands. I heard the Lord speak to me. This is where I think this is more than a message. I think it's a word. They that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. But there comes a time when they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And they will no longer stay idle. They will run and not be weary. They will walk like Yosemite, one step at a time, and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait on the Lord. But then there comes a time when he says, I put a rod in your hands. He's the rod, a stem out of Jesse. And he literally goes with you. He's your strength. He's your word. And I heard the Lord say to me, for this house, for you, if you'll receive it, that it's time to rise. No longer time to sit. There was a time when I thought, no, we can't do that right now, Lord. It's not that we can't, but I don't feel like it's the right time. But I heard him say, it started with Pastor Randy talking to me on the phone. And then I heard him minister this word. And when I was talking to him last night, I had three different messages I was trying to choose from that I've been developing. And in that short period of time, just talking to him, the presence of the Lord came down. It started rolling in my belly. In the seat of my emotions. And he says, tell them I'm a rod in their hands. Tell them that I've come to stir the waters. Tell them the time is now. Sit no longer. Get out, walk, and go forward. I'm ready to destroy their enemies. I'm ready to restore their dreams. I'm ready to restore what they've been hoping and thought, hoping against hope. And yet I'm here to do it. When God told me to leave Oak Park and go to a place that I'd never been before, not knowing whether anybody would follow us, I went. And then the Lord miraculously, on the first Sunday, we had 500 people, which was double what we had had. And then we started raising money because we knew we couldn't stay in a school forever. And this place came on the horizon. And I looked. And I said, Lord, that means a lot of work. It's big, but it's not got the, I'd have to redo everything. And I called them because I felt like, now hear me, there was just something down inside here. No, there's not just something down inside there. It was the word of the Lord in my spirit. As surely, Robin, as God told you, this is the guy to restore your dreams. I don't know why. I tried to get away from it. This is the guy when everything looked black. You know, and he may be an unlikely prince in his own estimation. But I guarantee you one thing. That still small voice inside that says, this is the one. Now is the time. You waited. You didn't just rush in. But finally, like me, I couldn't stand it anymore. I had to call. Look what God has done for her. Look what God has done for her family. Look what God has given her, even when it seemed like all was lost and things were bad. And you know what? When God told me, call them, I called them. You know what they said? No way. That thing, there's people standing in line. It's already leased anyway. Sorry, don't call us. Well, no, we won't call you. Just don't call us. You say, well, you've told this story 100 times, and I'll tell it again until I have the next miracle. Because every time I tell it, it encourages me. If God did it before, he can do it again. Hallelujah. Months went by and I kept believing, but it was not happening. When you get a word and you get a leading, it does, and you step out on it, don't expect it necessarily to go, oop, bang, everything's roses. I call back. I'm going to call back. I called and they said, don't call us anymore. Pastor Randy, he's driving by on the freeway. You know how easy it is to miss this building from the freeway when you're going 70? He says, I saw a building. I promise you, this is true. I saw a building when I was going on the freeway coming from Soledad. Now, I don't know how in the world he saw it coming from Soledad. You'd have to turn around and go, oh, pardon me, I'll just wait a minute. He says, there's a building there, and he tried to describe it. I said, yeah, I know the building. Why? He said, I said, because I already asked about it. He says, really? What'd they say? And I told him, don't call us, and we won't call you. And I said, and it's in bad shape, Pastor, but I felt the same thing. He says, you need to go ask again. When he said that, everything in the natural rose up and said, oh, I don't want to embarrass those people again. And I get mad, but there's something inside that says, go do it again. The dream's not dead. And I went and they called and they said, you know what? You're never going to believe this. Oh, yeah, I'll believe it. I said, yeah, I'll believe it. Anybody ever said that to you? You know, you're never going to believe this. Oh, yeah, try me. I'll believe it. That we had that thing leased and it was all done. They told me that way back and they said it fell through. But I thought you said it was a done deal. It was, but I don't know how, but it fell through. And there's people waiting in line, but it fell through. And I said, well, can we lease it? She says, well, who are you? I told her. And although when I tell her I'm a preacher, she's going to slap me in the face and say goodbye. She didn't. She says, really? She says, well, can you afford the price? I said, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, we can do whatever we have to do. And then I said, how much is it? She says, $16,000 a month. And that might as well have been $1 million a month. And she says, can you handle that? And I said, Lord, I'm not lying. We can do whatever we have to do. We got this building for $10,000 less than that a month. It was less than we were already paying. Oh, hallelujah. And everything worked out after that. We bought it, and we were in about 3 weeks, and we didn't have any problems, and there was no money issues. And that's all a lie from hell, too. Just because you got a word from heaven, don't not expect obstacles to come your way. But the good news is, I raised my hand with the rod God gave us. Hallelujah. And they raised their hands with the rod God gave them. And we are here, and we're now getting ready to do it again. Oh, I don't think you heard me. Now we're ready to do it again. The Lord spoke to me and tell them, it's time to build. It's time to dream. It's time to move forward. And I declare in your lives that your marriages are healed. I declare in your lives your finances are healed. I declare for everybody who's got faith that your debt is erased once and forever. If anybody wants their debt erased, stand to your feet right now and put your hand out. Hold it like I have this rod in my hand and say, Father, I receive right now that I am debt free, debt free, debt free. And then fill in the blank. Own my own home. I'm healed in my body. My marriage is restored. Tell him right now and declare it one more time. Father, we declare by the word of God in our hands, we are free, we're debt free, we're sickness free, we're problems erased. Holy, 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 holy. A word, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of their God. Holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah. 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 I got to get up here where you can see me.
Yeah.
When David picked up 5 stones, he had a slingshot and 5 stones, and he killed a giant. He had 5 stones, it only took one, but the reason it was because he had 4 big brothers. And if God did it once, he'll do it again and again and again. But what moved me is this, Johnny. We forget he not only picked up 5 stones, the Bible says, and in his other hand there was a rod in his hands. I said there was a rod in his hands. Hallelujah. Oh, the Shunammite woman who made a place for the prophet of God. and she sought God with all her heart and soul. God saw her. Look at me. And he saw she had a dream. He says, what does you have need of? She says, oh, I'm good. Sometimes we bury our dreams because it's the snake and we don't want to pick it up. He says, oh, I'm good. And so the prophet turned to her, to his assistant, says, she says she has no need. She says she has no son. He says, this time next year, you'll have a son. And she says, in essence, please don't mess with my heart, prophet. If it's not true, don't you tell me it is. He says, it shall come to pass. 1 year later, she had a child. But that child, after it was a few years old, died suddenly. Holy, holy, holy. The dream, it's a miracle to get it alive. And then the miracle dies. But God said, how is it with your soul? What's inside of you? What do you have in your hand? She ran to the prophet who was far away. You know the story, perhaps. Far away, the prophet saw her coming. Listen to me. Look at me. God knows where you're at. And he may test you. He sent his assistant, says, go ask her, how is it with her? She said, he went to her and says, why have you come? How is it with you? She says, it is well. Woo! Hallelujah. Her son's dead. But she says, it is well. You told me I'd have a son, and you told me you wouldn't break my heart. It is well with my soul. And then he went up, and she said, they found out the child is dead, but she says, it is well. She says, get my horse, get my donkey, I'm going. And you know what he did? He went, and he laid on the child. He laid on the child, and he breathed into the child, and the child sneezed 7 times. And he rose up victorious. But we forget. You know the first thing that he did when the prophet got there, when Elisha got there? He went and took the rod in his hand. And he placed it upon the forehead of that child. Hallelujah. I'm telling you today, I don't care what the dream situation may be. If God tells you he gives you something, he don't take it away. Are you listening to me? You put the word of God back on that dead thing. And you watch God raise it up, because the rod in your hand brings your miracles. Holy, holy. This doesn't matter a bit if you don't begin to apply it to impossible things. I got families sitting in here that their marriages are destroyed. I got people in here ready to go to the hospital to get operations. And I don't have a problem with that. If God heals you that way, that's fine. But don't you ever get to the point where you quit applying that rod. On the way in to getting a surgery that's corrective, you still apply the rod of God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because there's just something about never giving up on the word that God owns. Did you get anything? Let's raise our hands one more time. Lord, if they're here this morning and they don't know you as Savior and Lord, if they're believing for miracles, Lord, we receive them now by faith. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus. If you're here and you're like me, you've made mistakes and you need to repent. If you're here like me today and you need your dreams to be restored and you need to take the next step of all the dreams he's placed in your heart. Yes, everything he's placed in your heart. He can give it to you. Pray this prayer with me. Father, I receive now. I apply now the power of the word of the Lord in my life. I receive forgiveness of my sins. I receive healing in my body. I receive restoration of my dreams. And your word goes with me. Your word never dies. Thank you for the word of the Lord in my hand. Amen and amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just thank him for the word. Hallelujah. 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 It's a word. I need to let you go. It's a word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. Rhema word. That proceeds and keeps on proceeding out of the mouth of God. Yes, take this home with you and search your heart for what word God has placed in you. And resurrect it by speaking it in faith, no matter how impossible. Would you do that? And I believe we're going to hear the testimonies. And everybody said amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.